When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's get the latest on David, shall we? Neo Langston, remember this name? That's Neo's alleged friend who fled to Montana, got himself arrested at his mother's house by what can only be described as a small army of cops. Helena PD worked hand in hand with LAPD robbery homicide. He posted $60,000 bail, was dragged back to Los Angeles against his will. And just the other day, he walked into a courthouse and faced a grand jury investigating the death of Celeste Rivas Hernandez. He was there for about 40 minutes. 40 minutes, that's all. You need to understand why that number matters. Because David's manager, Robert Morgranth, sat in the exact same room in front of that exact same grand jury and answered questions from Deputy District Attorney Beth Silverman for 3 full days. 3 days of testimony. At one point, Morgranth walked out into the hallway, got on the phone with his lawyer loud enough for people to hear, and said Silverman was allegedly very pushy about why he didn't call police. His answer, he told her he didn't feel like it was his responsibility and he just wanted to continue with the tour. I mean, that response alone, that admission, that should show what mattered more than the girl right there. 3 days of questioning. Beth Silverman is not known for going easy on witnesses. She's aggressive. She's tough. She grinds. So when Neo Langston, the guy who ran from a subpoena and hit at his mother's house 1,500 miles away, walks in and walks out in less than an hour, that demands an explanation. Because people who flee across state lines and force prosecutors to issue arrest warrants don't typically get the abbreviated version. Something happened in that room that cut the conversation short, and right now, nobody is saying what. Did he plead the fifth? I mean, that could be a possibility in this case. His right to not self-incriminate himself. That could be what happened the whole time I played the fifth. We don't know the answer as of right now. We're going to get into all this. Give me your thoughts in the comment section, either on YouTube or on our Substack. The links are in the description right now to join us on either platform. While you're at it, please do press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you can take us with you on the go and listen to our content anywhere whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and do hit subscribe. TMZ caught Neo on his way out of the courthouse. He didn't say a word, though. Their cameras got Beth Silverman walking in. She was all business, no comment. The grand jury proceedings are secret by law, so we don't know what questions were asked or what answers were given, but we can look at the math. We can look at what 40 minutes means when 3 days was the baseline for someone with far less proximity to David's personal life. Let me back up and explain who Neon Langston actually is in this story. He's not management. He's not the label. He's not an employee. He's a friend, a close one, the kind of friend who shows up in Instagram posts and gets name dropped in industry circles as part of David's inner world. And according to speculation that's been circulating online for weeks now, he may also be the person captured on neighborhood surveillance footage moving the Tesla in late July of 2025. Actually, that speculation's been going on since late last year from this very program. He was the very first person that we speculated on very early on, right when we learned about the car being moved, about the private investigator making statements. Neo Langston's name was the first one that came up here. Is he the one that moved the car? We don't know the answer to that. But he seems to be valuable in this story. So we were right about something there. Considering there was the $60,000 bail and he was shuffled around the country by force to talk. Private investigator Steve Fisher, the PI hired by the owner of David's former Hollywood Hills rental, has said publicly that he's reviewed security camera footage from July 29th, and he's certain he knows who was driving that car. He hasn't named the person, but he's described what the footage shows. Someone moving the Tesla just a few blocks, according to online discussions analyzing the footage. The driver reportedly opened all windows and added an air freshener, behavior that would suggest awareness of what was inside. Again, that, I got a phrase, is online fodder. We don't know exactly what happened there, but if one's rolling down windows, adding air fresheners, yeah, the smell might have permeated more than just the frunk. Fisher hasn't confirmed that the driver was Neo, but the timing of Neo's arrest, the intensity of the effort to get him in front of that grand jury, and the fact that prosecutors went to the trouble of having him physically dragged back to Los Angeles, all of it suggests he knows something they desperately want on the record. So why 40 minutes? There are a few possibilities, and none of them are comforting. Option one, Neo invoked the Fifth Amendment on virtually every question. If you believe you might incriminate yourself, you have a constitutional right to stay silent. And if a witness takes the Fifth on question after question, there's only so long prosecutors can keep them in the room. You can't compel someone to waive that right. So 40 minutes might mean Neo sat there, listened to Silverman's questions, and declined to answer any of them. Option two, prosecutors already have what they need. Maybe Neo's role was narrow. Maybe they only needed him to confirm a handful of specific facts, his whereabouts on certain dates, his access to the vehicles, his communications with David during a particular window. If the evidence they've gathered from other sources is strong enough, they may not have needed a 3-day deep dive. They got their yes or no answers and sent him home. And there's option three, he's cooperating in ways nobody's talking about. Grand jury proceedings are sealed, plea discussions, proffer agreements, cooperation deals. None of that gets announced until charges are filed. It is possible Neo's 40 minutes were the formality at the end of a much longer conversation that happened behind closed doors weeks ago. What is a proffer agreement? Were you paying attention at all during the Brandon Banfield au pair affair murder trial at all that we've been covering here on the channel? She had one of those agreements, the au pair. The agreement was, you testify against Brandon Banfield and say everything that we believe took place here, that you're telling us took place here, that he's the one who orchestrated this murder for hire, even though you participated in some of it. We will let you go. We will make this deal with you if you testify to that. Is that what's going on here?
Maybe.
We don't know which of those scenarios is true. Neither does anyone else outside that courtroom. But what I do know is this. The guy who ran isn't in custody anymore. He posted bail. He showed up. He left. And now he's back out in the world while the rest of us try to figure out what just happened. Here's what makes this even harder to sit with. When investigators searched David's Hollywood Hills rental after Celeste's body was discovered, they seized computers and bags of evidence. But Steve Fisher, who got access to the property after David moved out, found something the cops apparently didn't take or didn't prioritize. A 55-pound burn cage incinerator, still boxed, never opened, delivered to the residents under a false name. The product is advertised to reach 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit. For reference, cremations and crematoriums typically operate around 1,400. This thing was capable of reducing human remains to nothing. Ash. Fisher also found a chainsaw. Brand new, protective shield still covering the chain. Never used. His reaction, and I'm paraphrasing here, was essentially, you've got to wonder what the plan was. You do. Because here's the thing. The body wasn't burned. It wasn't reduced to nothing. Celeste's remains were found in the frunk of the Tesla, partially dismembered, in an advanced stage of decomposition. Whatever the original disposal plan was, it didn't happen. The incinerator stayed in its box, the chainsaw stayed sheathed, and the body ended up in a car that got ticketed, towed, and impounded while David was on tour halfway around the world. So what changed? Did circumstances shift? Did someone involved refuse to follow through? Did the plan fall apart because the people responsible couldn't stomach what came next? Those are the questions. Because the presence of that equipment isn't incidental. You don't order a farm-grade incinerator to a Hollywood Hills rental for a music video prop. You don't have it delivered under a fake name if it's legitimate. And you don't leave it behind when you break your lease and disappear unless you're in a hurry to get out. That brings us back to Neo. Not Neo. I should be clear on this. Neo. N-E-O. He's not an artist. He's an unknown. It's not Neo. I want to be careful so people are like, Neo? No. If prosecutors believe a second person was involved in the disposal of Celeste's body, and multiple sources have confirmed that LAPD has identified such a suspect, someone allegedly involved before, during, and after her death, then the brevity of Neo's testimony becomes infinitely more interesting. A witness who runs, gets arrested, and then barely testifies is not behaving like a cooperating witness. But he's also not sitting in a cell right now either. He's out, he's free, and whatever he said or didn't say in those 40 minutes, it was apparently enough for that day. TMZ has reported that David is likely to face murder charges. LAPD Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton has said publicly that accountability is coming. The grand jury has been meeting since November, and more witnesses are expected to testify through the rest of the month. The medical examiner's findings remain sealed under a court order that the Emmy's office publicly criticized as unnecessary and rare. Prosecutors led by Beth Silverman are reportedly pushing hard for an indictment. No one has been arrested. No charges have been filed. All individuals discussed here are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And the people closest to David, the ones who managed his career, lived in his house, traveled with him, and allegedly moved his car, are walking around Los Angeles like the walls aren't closing in. So what does it mean to be 14 years old and missing? Celeste Rivas Hernandez ran away from home in Lake Elsinore in April of 24. She'd done it before. She came back before. This time she didn't. The last contact her family had with her was a phone call in May of that year. Surveillance footage and digital evidence suggest she was alive as late as January 25. But by the time her body was found on September 8th, the day after what would have been her 15th birthday, she had been dead for months. Her remains were so decomposed that the medical examiner still hasn't been able to determine a cause of death. She was a child. She trusted someone, and that someone lived in a rented mansion where investigators later found an unopened incinerator and an unused chainsaw. The grand jury is still meeting. Beth Silverman is still presenting evidence, and Nia Langston, the friend who fled and got dragged back, is already out the door after 40 minutes that nobody will explain. I don't know what he said in that room. I don't know if he helped move the car, or if he knew what was inside, or if he's just the guy who panicked when the subpoena arrived and made the worst decision of his life by running. What I do know is that Celeste deserved better than all this, better than a rented mansion where investigators found cremation equipment still in a box and a chainsaw that was never used. Better than a circle of people who seem more committed to silence than to answers. Better than a system that lets witnesses post bail and walk away while her family waits for justice that still hasn't come. The questions keep piling up, the grand jury keeps meeting, and somewhere in Los Angeles, the people who know what really happened are still walking free. For now. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or our Substack. The link's in the description of this video. And hey, take us with you on the go. Get our reporting, all of it, every day, in your car, on your device, wherever you're going. Just go to wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, whatever it is. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and press subscribe. Please do that. Helps us reach you with our reporting, helps other folks know you're finding it valuable. We do greatly appreciate that. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll continue our conversation off the air. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.